Don't forget that tomorrow we have got NFL football. Vikings at the Rams. And preceding that on the show, we're going to talk with Brian Baldinger, our weekly guest from the NFL Network.
Baldy. I can't wait. I got to check out his Baldy breakdowns. You've raved about them. And actually, you showed me.
I'm telling you,
you showed
incredible.
Me one. Yeah, it's really solid. I dig. You know, I dig that type of stuff.
It is phenomenal.
Looking at the little stuff, Grant, because that's where everything's at.
Yeah,
it's the little stuff. It's not the big stuff. It's the little stuff.
All right. Coming up on the show today, and again, we got baseball coming your way at 6:45. But coming up at 6, Eric Ed Holm, NFL reporter for Pro Football Weekly, will be with us. All right, let's get to Daniel. Hello, Daniel.
Hi, Grant. Thanks for taking my call. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I have a question in regards to what we would get back in a trade. So from what I've been seeing, it looks like we'd probably be absorbing Gorgui Dieng and taking a first-rounder probably in the 15 to 25 range, give or take. Is that what you guys are seeing?
You know, as far as Gorgui Dieng goes, I know he's been – a lot of people have been mentioning his name. I really don't know. Whether he would be the guy or not. And it's very difficult to talk about what would the Kings be getting in return because there's all kinds of possibilities right now.
Absolutely, and I agree. So I guess mine's more of a question in regards to Zach LaVine. I know obviously we can't get him. We made our offer.
Right.
It was matched. But in your opinion, would you rather have, let's say in hypothetical, we would get Dieng and a first rounder. Would you rather have someone like a Zach LaVine?
Yeah.
Or Dieng in that first rounder?
Jang. It's not, it's Jang. Like,
Jang. Sorry, yeah. My apologies.
That's okay. Jang. It's okay. I would rather have Zach LaVine.
I agree.
But I mean, again, that's you all. Said hypothetical. It's not happening.
Of course. But in regards to how we spend the money, that's all. Thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
What about you?
No brainer.
Yeah,
Zach
I'm with you.
On top of the fact, Grant, that the league is that type of player out on the wing, knock down shots, run the floor, dribble drive, finish at the hole, really strong. He is a multifaceted player because his rookie year they played him at point guard as well. So the many things that he can do. I'm high on Zach. Obviously, he comes from Washington. But I'm high on his talent. I'm not blind. I think the kid is really, really talented, and I think he's only scratched the surface.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, most people, and again, most feel that Jimmy Butler and that deal is going to go down this week.
It doesn't surprise me that Miami's in on this one. He fits them to a T. Now, what needs to happen for that to go down? And then you start to look at the Miami Heat roster and what they have. You know they play a certain style. I don't know what's up with Deion Waiters, who plays small forward, shooting guard. Do they give up on a Justice Winslow, Grant, that they drafted in the first round a couple years ago and hasn't really turned the corner? You don't know. I do know this, that the Miami Heat with Jimmy Butler would be in a way better place than they are right now.
No question about that.
Yes.
And you know how we always talk about you have to wait a few years before you can determine the outcome of a trade?
Yes.
All right. So I'm not saying this because other than it's true. The trade that the Kings made for DeMarcus Cousins turned out to be an awful trade for New Orleans. Awful.
Yes.
Because they gave away a lot to acquire DeMarcus Cousins.
And they don't have him.
They gave away Buddy Hield, who looks like a really young, I shouldn't say young, a real promising player, okay, who I think is going to be in this league for a long time.
Yep.
And they gave away a number one pick. And they changed the makeup of their team, with the exception of Anthony Davis, and now they lose DeMarcus Cousins for nothing.
Yeah.
All right? So that's a bad trade. You can close the book on that deal. That was a bad trade for New Orleans, period.
Yeah, it did not work out for them at all. I think that now if DeMarcus doesn't get hurt, they make the playoffs, maybe they make a run, they're more likely to probably to sign him and give him that money if everything works out. But the fact that now that has happened and they're standing there with nothing to show for it, that is not a good look. And with the selection of Buddy Hield, like I said, Buddy surprised me last year on top of the fact that if Buddy is your sixth man, he solidifies that because he can come off the bench and he can knock down shots, and he's shown something on the defensive end. That is a solid piece that you – like, for instance, Buddy, you can pencil him in. That's a pencil in. Now, I don't know what that number is going to be, meaning we got to let the season. But I'm sure it's probably going to be double digits that he's going to give you off the bench, and you can pencil him in probably for 24 to 30 minutes, depending on what you need, the physical aspect of it. I think Buddy is just – he's a solid shooter and is only going to get better.
All right, if you want to call the show, 339-1140. That's 339-1140, 800-920-1140. You know, again, you've got to, like, again, everyone was criticizing Chicago for getting rid of Jimmy Butler. Well, again, if you're a Bulls fan, it worked out pretty darn good for you.
What? Man.
I mean, Lauri Markkanen was tremendous last year.
He was fantastic. That's what you get with your pick. Mm-hmm. Then you pair that with Zach LaVine, and you pair that with Dunn, who was really promising after his rookie year under Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah.
And it didn't work out. You send him to Chicago. You got three pieces for one. Yes, Jimmy is an all-star. I totally get it. But you pushed reset with Fred Hoiberg and went for youth movement. And boy, do you got a lot of youth, and they look promising.
No question about that. We've got a lot to go over with the Kings. Day two of training camp. Doug and I talk about what they have to look forward to. Three road games next week at Phoenix, at the Lakers, and then the Warriors up in Seattle. I know for you, that's going to be a very special game.
Yeah, it is, man. Closing down Key Arena, a place, Grant, that it used to be Seattle Center Coliseum, as you well know. Growing up as a kid, that's where the state championships were held at. That's where the Sonics won their world championship. There are many, many things that happened in that arena. So to close it down for a guy who was drafted by the Sonics, never played for them, unfortunately, with George Karl and Bob Woodson. Yeah, this is it, oddly enough, going back there and closing down Key Arena will be a lot of fun. Hopefully they get another team. Hockey will be first, definitely.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Hockey is yeah. And how about the rivalry they're going to have with the Vancouver Canucks?
Oh, boy. That's just – listen, you're talking just a couple hours up I-5, and you are right there. That is the same thing going the opposite way that basketball had with Portland. Seattle and Portland had that similar thing. Now you're going to have it with Vancouver and Seattle, the Canucks and whatever. Hey, they need to call them the Seattle Totems, Grant. That's what the minor league hockey team was called, the Seattle Totems.
Is that right?
Yes, of course. Had a totem pole on the shirt, blue and green. Come on.
You're a beauty.
I'm just telling you. I grew up, Grandpa took me to a Totems game before as a young whippersnapper.
You're a piece of work, man.
I saw somebody get hit in the head with a puck.
That's not good.
No, it is not.
You know,
about 10 rows behind us.
When the little girl at the Columbus Blue Jackets game and the tragedy that unfolded there,
yeah.
And it was unfortunate that it took the life of a young person to change the netting. Now at all hockey games, and we've seen it in baseball.
Baseball, yes. Yeah. You got to make sure. I mean, listen, that ball is – let's take – well, you could take hockey as well because some of those slap shots, Grant, are coming at 100 miles an hour, and you got to protect the fans. That thing gets out of there in a hurry. The same with baseball. It's coming in. They're talking exit velocity, all that type of stuff. People, yeah, you're sitting front row, but do not look down at your phone. I'm just saying.
Whoa.
Huh? Matter of fact, you don't look down at your phone. I see some of the seats you have.
Absolutely. No, I don't. Peter, you're on with Grant and Doug. What's up, Peter?
Man, I'm terrified looking at my phone right
now. Yeah, don't do it, Peter. Don't do it.
You guys got me scared. Hey, first of all, it's so nice to hear Kings talk. And I don't know when it started. You know, I've been listening and driving, you know, for the last several months. And it's killing me not hearing Kings talk. So thank you, guys.
Yeah.
What I read in the paper was a three-way deal or a four-way deal.
Yep.
And they mentioned Gallinari from the Clippers. And I like that guy, and I think he's a small forward. Have you guys heard about that? And I mean, I think he'd fit beautifully in our team. And
I have not heard that. I have not heard that, but that doesn't mean it's not accurate.
Yeah, you know, Nemanja Bjelica is similar. The big guy could shoot the ball. I would say at some point, I the Kings are going to have to get that 6'8", 6'9", ultra-athletic three that can guard a few different positions, because you're looking at Kevin Durant, and you're looking at you know, King James, and you're looking at some of these players that athletic wing, a la what you see with the Timberwolves in a Andrew Wiggins-ish type of three man.
Gotcha. Okay. And then the white side, I just hope to God, honestly, that's not even a thought.
I don't think it's I really don't think it is. I really don't.
You're not buying a jersey?
I'm not buying a jersey.
Okay. Just checking.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Man, oh, man. You always say I'm harsh. You're being harsh today.
No, I'm not. Just having hey, basketball is back, Grant. Listen, they're down there right now working on it. Training camp is in. The machines are down there kicking the balls out. Guys are dribbling and running, and I'm excited.
Chris is next. Hello, Chris.
Hi, Grant.
Hi, Chris.
I was just wondering, do you think that the Timberwolves would trade Jimmy Butler to a West Coast team, or would it more likely go to an Eastern Conference?
I don't think that it matters. I think whatever the best deal is for Minnesota, it doesn't matter whether it's the East or the West. I don't think that's a factor in trading Jimmy Butler. I think they're going to do what's best for the Timberwolves.
Gotcha. One more question, and then I was just wondering, would you think Vlade would have in his thoughts of maybe having Jimmy Butler come to the Kings?
Jimmy Butler's not coming to the Kings.
Yeah, Jimmy is kind of that piece that is, you know, he's a little older. He's going to be the piece to probably put you over. You need to pair him probably with more veterans. Or let's take what they did in Minnesota. That was a perfect scenario from the standpoint that they thought that they had a young team, that the young players had taken the step, and all they needed was an older player to come in and help them really go over the top.
What about a team like Portland? Do you think maybe they could
play
something?
That's an interesting one. I mean, you pair him with Damian Lillard and C.J. McCollum. Yeah, that's one that, yeah, that could work.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Appreciate it. 339-1140, 800-920-1140. You know, what's unfortunate from Minnesota's perspective, when these things occur, you, in a perfect world, you would like this to have happened in July.
Yep.
Not after training camp is underway, for all intents and purposes. This is awful for Minnesota.
Yeah, because you don't really know what it is that you got, what you're going to get back, a lot of different things. And when people talk about the landing place for Jimmy Butler, I don't know about you, Grant. I don't look at Jimmy as a number one, meaning like he would be better in that 2-3 type of thing, meaning that he's your second or third option, as opposed, not that he can't put points up on the board. That's not what I'm saying, because Jimmy can score. He can do a lot of different things. But if he's your number one, the defensive end of the floor is probably going to suffer, because he's going to have to do so much on the offensive end and then the defensive end as well. One of those are going to have to suffer. But if he's your two or three, well, obviously he can still get down on the defensive end as well.
Yeah, all right. 3-9-11-40-800-920-1140. We are ticking you up until 6:45. A's and Mariners. By the way, the magic number in that department is 2. The Yankees and the A's, the magic number for New York to have a home game is 2. I think it's pretty much a foregone conclusion that is going to happen. You know, again, the Yankees have a magic number of 2. Now, they are tied right now in their game at Tampa, 3-3. But not only do they have a 3-game lead in the loss column, they have the tiebreaker. Gary, you're on with Grant and Doug. Go ahead, Gary.
Hey, guys. How's it going today?
Good. How are you?
Good. Hey, do you guys know, did Seattle retain the name for the Sonics if they get an NBA team again?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Well, I was thinking the NHL team up there should be called the Boom. It would go along with the Sonics and also the hard checking in hockey, kind of a hockey reference too. Thought that'd be kind of a cool name for the Seattle team.
Look at you. That was well played.
I like that.
Yeah, I do. I like that too. Yeah, right against the boards. Boom!
How about that?
Oh, do you see how that worked? I dig it.
All right. Yeah, that's just my thought on it. You guys have a good one.
You too.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, actually, that's
works. Pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, I'm still biased to the Totems, because that's how I grew up. But the Sonic Boom, The Seattle Boom. Excuse me. Seattle Sonic. I like Seattle that. Boom. Seattle I like that. Storm. That's actually solid. What's your mascot?
That's a good point right there. I don't really think you need a mascot in hockey. I've never really understood it. You don't need it.
Now, the Knights, boy, they do it right.
Yeah, but I mean, most teams don't have mascots in hockey.
You see that pregame show down there in Vegas?
Yeah, pretty top shelf.
That is, come on, not pretty top shelf. It's it's the best in the league.
Yeah.
I mean, it's theater at its finest.
It's good.
Yeah, and they light the floor up and it disappears. And yeah, that's all right.
All right, all guests come to you via the Fire Wings hotline. Try one of their delicious flavors of wings today. Fire Wings, just wing it. NFL Week 4 begins tomorrow. Minnesota at the Rams. We will have that game for you. We'll get you to the Coliseum at 5 o'clock for all the action. Then in studio Friday. And then next week, boy, we are out and about. You and I are going to be doing the show Monday from Phoenix. Then the Kings will be in L.A. Thursday. We'll be at the Staples Center for that. We'll be at Key Arena on Friday. So that's a busy week for you and I next week as we'll be doing the show on the road both Monday, Thursday, and Friday.
Oh. Nothing wrong with that, Grant. We can be having a good time, man. We're watching basketball.
I've got the station right now working on a line into the Met in Seattle so we can do our show right there from the restaurant.
Hey, let me have another drink.
Can you
get him some chips?
No drinking on the air.
Grant, see, you went right to alcohol. I was talking about a strawberry lemonade.
Well, normally when you say drink, that's what we refer to. Do you know that, and I really mean this, I'm
libation?
I have never, ever, ever had a drink. Ever in my life before I've gone to work. I really mean that. I'm not kidding you.
I mean, why would you?
And you know what? When I first came to Channel 31 in Sacramento, I'm not even going to mention the name.
Okay.
But it
Don't
was 30 plus years ago.
Okay.
The guy that was doing the sports before me,
well, that's easy
we went
to
out
find
to lunch.
Out. Okay.
Well, but it's not a big deal. And we go to lunch, and he orders a beer.
Okay.
And then he has another beer.
Let me have a cold one.
And I'm like, and again, I'm 27 at the time, and I'm like, and it was, I looked at that and I'm like, how can you drink even, you know, again, everyone's different. Everyone's tolerance is different. But I've always, and then one, I believe, and I may be wrong, in the majority of the places that I've worked, and the reason why I say where I've worked, I've only worked in two places, but this particular radio station, I've gone through three or four different ownership changes. Mm-hmm. And with the Kings, several, and most places it's in your contract, you know. And I'm like, you know what, I'm not going to lose my job because I went to dinner, and you know, before I did the news at 10 o'clock at night, I had a beer and somebody took, you know, I've never done it. Yeah. Never. And all my friends know that. They go, come on, you can have one beer. I'm like, no, I don't. Not worth it.
I don't like beer anyway.
What's that?
I don't like
You're
beer.
A wine guy, aren't you?
Yeah. You know, have a little red. But now before I go on.
Little red wine?
Yeah.
How was the red wine at Del Frisco's?
Oh, boy. That Napier said, give me the house blend, but it was solid,
that
man.
That was nice, huh?
Woo! Man, I hang with you more often, man. The meal was good. The dessert was
you
good.
You liked that, didn't you?
Man, I see you've been living the life there, Napier.
I'll tell you right now, there are certain restaurants around the country that I'm like, okay, I'm there.
Del Frisco's is one.
Del Frisco's in New York or Carmine's. They're both great. I love both of them.
Carmine's. That Carmine's, sounds old school.
44th and Broadway. It's one of the great Italian restaurants in New York City. It's phenomenal. Family style. It's incredible.
Little Italy?
No, it's on 44th and Broadway in Times Square.
You ever been to Little Italy?
Of course I've been to Little Italy.
Well, you'd
been
say,
to Italy,
of course.
Too. You ever been to Italy?
Look at you.
Been to Little Italy, and I've been to Big Italy.
Look at you. He's flexing his frequent flyer muscles on me today. Yes.
Been to Italy?
Nah. I've been over the pond. Been
all right.
To a few places.
But you never been to Italy. You got to go to Italy. It's incredible.
Made a
great country.
Yes. Kicking Sicily.
All right.
The boot?
Yep.
Putting it on him.
I've not been down to the boot yet.
The tip?
I've been up north. I've not been to the boot.
What's your favorite place to travel? Take away Switzerland.
I was just going to say Switzerland.
Yeah, okay. We got that one. Besides that.
Boy, that's probably Thailand.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Man, for those who haven't been, Thailand just
it's incredible.
Sensory overload is what it is.
Exactly.
And
it has everything. It's got the big city. It's got the beauty of the ocean and all the islands. It has everything. And it's a very inexpensive place to go visit.
Man, I'm telling you. How much? Really? Give me two.
Yeah. Give me two.
I'm just saying. I got to wean it back a little bit.
All right. If you want to call the program, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. We'll keep you up to date on that game going on in Tampa. Basically, the Yankees have to lose all of their games, and the A's have to win all but one game, and Tampa has just gone ahead of the Yankees 4-3, that game in the bottom of the third. Tanaka's pitching, and he can't pitch anymore, so I don't know why he's in there. But I would think that J-Hap is going to go on Wednesday against the Oakland A's.
As long as Tanaka doesn't have to run to first, it'll be all right.
No, he's not going to have to run unless they pinch run and they put Tanaka there.
You know what? You're supposed to say thank you, man. My M's handled things last night. Make it easy on yourself.
No offense, but the Yankees weren't going to back into the home wild card. So.
Ah, look at you. He's confident. He is confident. I like it. I like it.
All right. We'll be right back. Grant Napier, Doug Christie. This is Sports 1140 KHDK. Grant Napier, Doug Christie, 339-1140. That's 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Week four NFL. And then you've got the Raiders and the Browns on Sunday.
Oh, boy.
And can you imagine what Monday's show is going to be like if the Raiders lose at home to Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns?
Not to mention, they have a coach there that used to be the coach of the Raiders, Grant. Huh?
Yep.
I think we'll have full phone lines.
This is a huge game for Hugh Jackson.
It's a huge game. I mean, if you thought about it and you said, okay, rookie quarterback, first time starting on the road, you would probably automatically take the Raiders. The problem is Baker Mayfield looks to be, and I'm saying looks, a little different of an animal. When he stepped on the field, you could see there was a bit of swagger, not just with him. And a lot of times that's what it is. It's with one player. It was with his team. They obviously believe in the kid, and the blocking was better. Everyone looked to have a pep in their step. This is going to be a big game for the Raiders. 0-4?
Yeah, especially with the Chiefs 3-0.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, so
Grant, forget about
the
division.
Well, you know what? No, I wouldn't say that. What happens if Patrick Mahomes gets hurt on Sunday?
I mean,
well, I'm just saying you can't say that in the NFL because of injuries. Injuries will, I mean, you know, teams that were getting ready to play the 49ers, like, oh boy, this is going to be tough. Well, it's not as tough as much now without Jimmy Garoppolo.
You had a couple Chiefs fans out there that we know that are just saying, hush, when you just said that. Saying, don't say that, Napier. That kid looks to be the truth, by the way. Mahomes. Oof. Now, he has pieces all around him, but, man, the throws that he's making. Now, he is throwing to every position that he's throwing to. They are special.
All right. Grant Napier and Doug Christie, can give us a shout at 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Again, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. You know, when you think about the first month of the season, which is going to be in the books, most people will tell you it takes four games to get an identity of a team.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So the identity of the Raiders after 3 weeks is can't finish. We're not really sure what are they offensively. And then defensively, we know what they're not. They're not a team that can get to the quarterback, and we've heard their coach talk about that after every game.
Well, listen, they start really well in games, which means that, you know, they're scripting some plays. They get after it. The inability to adjust, I think, after halftime, that's what we've seen. And you mentioned just finishing the game. That, and you pair that with some untimely interceptions by Mr. Carr. And after week one, we were going, what the heck is going on? I thought he played well in week two. They just haven't been able to finish however you want to look at that, because you could look at it a bunch of different ways, Grant. Like, man, they're trending. They're getting close. But then you talk about pass rush, the inability to get to the quarterback and things like that puts a lot of pressure on your defense.
Yeah, it sure does. You know, when you think about John Gruden, if they lose this week, again, I'll move my prediction up 2 weeks, and I'll say that the I'll move it up by 2 weeks and say the 30,000 no-shows will occur in the middle of October as opposed to the end of October.
Where it's going to hurt Raiders fans, Grant, is I would say if most people calling in did not think that this was going to be a total rebuild this year. If we go back to the summertime, you're bringing in Gruden. You haven't signed Khalil Mack yet, but we're going to get him in. Great. We got a pass rusher. Then you let Crabtree go. You bring in Martavius Bryant. You're thinking Carr's going to – now he has a quarterback whisper. I don't think that most Raider fans thought that this was going to be a total rebuild, but that's really what it looks like, and it looks like they're trending towards being good when they land in Vegas with these draft picks they got for Khalil
Mack. Well, they better draft well.
That's true.
That's number one, first and foremost. They better draft well.
Well, these will be – make no mistake about it. These will be Gruden selections, right? I mean, even if McKenzie is still there, these are picks that Gruden is going to make, definitely.
Wow. I don't like that. He's proven in the past he's not a very good evaluator of college talent, which would scare me big time if I am looking at the future of the Oakland Raiders.
Most, and Grant, we had all the callers on. We talked to them. Most people are down with Gruden. They believe in him. They believe in what he's doing. They believe in his system and his approach to everything. And it hasn't bared fruit as of yet, but they are all in. Right. I mean, and you have to be. If you're going to pay him $100 million, you're going to
Well, most feel that Reggie McKenzie will not be with the team much longer, and so – you know, John Gruden's going to surround himself with people that he knows, with people that he trusts, and then go from there, see what happens. But I'd be very nervous if you're telling me that John Gruden is going to be the guy making the decisions on draft picks.
Well, I will say, I believe, I don't have his exact quotes, so I'm paraphrasing, that John Gruden said, we haven't selected well, meaning draft picks. What's that? That's a shot at
sure
Mr. McKenzie. Reggie's got to be sitting there going, what the heck? And if you look at all the different players that they've gotten rid of, you know, Gruden, they don't have a lot of players
right that
were on the team when they were 13-3. All those players are pretty much gone.
Well, and then you got the 49ers, and you have to wonder now at this point, you know, the 49ers are 1-2 without Garoppolo for the rest of the year. Are we looking at a 49ers team that's going to be a 5 or 6 win team when it's all said and done? That's where I got them right now. I mean, I think they're going to win 3 to 4 more games.
Let me look at it.
Well, I think you're going to lose this week at the Chargers. They're going to lose at Green Bay. They're going to lose at home against the Rams. At Cardinals is winnable. Home Raiders is winnable. They're probably going to lose at home to the Giants. They're going to lose at the Bucks. They're going to lose at the Seahawks. They're going to lose to the Broncos. They're going to lose to the Seahawks again. They're going to lose to the Bears. They're going to lose at the Rams. Who are they going to beat?
Well, how many wins did you say?
I think they're going to win 3 or 4 more wins max.
Okay. Then, yeah, I would agree. When you look at the schedule and you break it down the way that you have, there's only a couple that you would look at them and say, okay, these are winnable games. The Cardinals, you play them in back-to-back weeks. That's definitely a possible – well, no, not back-to-back weeks. You play them on the 7th and then you play them again, on the 28th.
All right, let's get to Craig. Hello, Craig.
Hey, Grant. Hey, DC. How you guys doing today?
What's going on?
Hey, just meant to call when the Basketball Hall of Fame was occurring, I guess like a week or two ago, and get both of your input. Like, I've always wished the NBA had their own Hall of Fame, not to take away at all from the other, you know, college sports, et cetera, but it's such a hard percentage in life to ever get there. Do you know, I guess, A, what's the reason they have it, and B, do you guys have strong feelings about that? And I can take my answer off the air.
Thank you. I've never really given it a lot of thought, to be honest with you. Would it be great to have a quote-unquote NBA Hall of Fame? Yeah, I guess that would be okay.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at Major League Baseball and you look at football, they have their own Hall of Fame. This is the Naismith Hall
of
Fame.
Well, football doesn't. It's the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It's not the NFL. It's not, so, like, that means Canadian Football League. Like, when Warren Moon was inducted all of his Canadian Football League.
And boy, there was a bunch.
Yes, that's what, exactly. So, absolutely.
He threw from here to Nova Scotia.
I'll tell you right now, I did the Canadian Football League for 2 years and loved every minute of it. I had so much fun going to all of the cities in Canada. And it was in the summer, you know, doing a game at Edmonton, 55,000 people, then going to Hamilton, huge stadium, going to the Sky Dome.
Yes.
You know, and they
going to have a team in Montreal?
The 2 years that I was there, no.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ottawa. We went to Regina, Saskatchewan, Winnipeg, Calgary, obviously. Doug Flutie was the quarterback with the Stampeders.
There you go.
That was a phenomenal atmosphere to go up there. And the Chinook winds would
come. Look at you.
Oh, yeah, the Chinook winds in Calgary. I loved it. It was great. But, yeah, Warren Moon was the real deal.
Oh, man, he passed for some serious yardage up in the Canadian Football League, man. But I get Naismith Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
It's everything that is basketball. And I haven't necessarily thought a lot about it because, as a basketball player, it's Hall of Fame. That's just how you look at it, regardless all the different things that they have in there.
Yeah, and so back to the question, NBA Hall of Fame, Naismith Hall, I don't know. I don't lose sleep over it. I would say that of all the sports, there's less interest in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Like, the majority of people didn't even know that it occurred just recently.
Well, and that's probably to his question,
yes,
Grant, because it goes so many different places. It's not as, Major League Baseball, pro football. It's not the same, albeit it's the Hall of freaking Fame, Grant.
It is the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
I mean, it's a big deal. There's no doubt about it. I mean, ask anyone that's in there. They'll tell you.
Yeah. Chris Webber will be in there shortly. Vlade Divac.
They should. We'll see.
That's right.
You know,
my vote.
My
vote doesn't count, though.
I would think if Chris doesn't get in next year, then he should be worried.
He did.
If he doesn't get in next year.
Got my vote.
All right, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. That's 339-1140, 800-920-1140. And that's the great thing about the Basketball Hall of Fame. You know, an individual like Vlade, everything that he's accomplished over in Europe and internationally would factor into whether he would be in the Hall of Fame or not. It's not just the NBA.
They haven't figured that one out. I thought Vlade
really paved the way
for
so many others.
Come on. I mean, Vlade, he started that
whole. Vlade and Drazen Petrovic.
Yeah. And that was. Did you ever see that 30 for 30?
Of course I did. I've seen it many times and I've cried in each one.
It's one hell of a story, man.
The scene at the end with Vlade.
Yes.
Going to Croatia to see Drazen's mom.
Man.
Is.
If you don't cry, turn your TV off, for God's sake.
And Vlade going through the customs when he was going into Croatia and that whole thing. And again, we lived through that from a different perspective. You were a teammate of Vlade's when the war was going on there. And I lived through it from a completely different perspective than you did because you were in the locker room during a lot of those moments, which I can't even imagine what that would have been like.
You know, Vlade being who he is, that was his refuge. So
yeah, the court was a sanctuary.
Yes. He didn't bring it.
No.
He didn't. That was a time where just me looking at him and knowing him, he that was a chance. Let me get away for a moment. Just for a brief moment, as painful as this other thing is, let me get away. And he was incredible during that time.
All right. We are going to take a break. We'll be right back on Sports 1140 KHDK. All right. We are with you. Grant Napier, Doug Christie. 339-1140. That's 339-1140. Brian Baldinger will be joining us tomorrow. Friday, Chris Landry and Andy Benoit. Andy Benoit, MMQB. Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. Also, Natalie Golbus, Sacramento's very own, will be joining us during the golf hour on Friday. We're looking forward to that. We have got a lot going on. Grant Napier, Doug Christie, and we welcome your phone calls at 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. When you look at the Sacramento Kings, when you look at what's going on in the NBA with all the trade rumors as it relates to Jimmy Butler, will the Kings be a third or fourth team in there? Time will tell. One thing you and I have not talked about, Luke Walton, the coach of the LA Lakers, has already said that Rajon Rondo is his starting point guard. Now, part of that has to do with the fact that Lonzo Ball had off-season knee surgery, but Rondo's the guy that's going to get the ball to start.
It makes total sense, obviously, because Ball is going to be out. But even then, think about this, Grant. Could you have a more perfect mentor for Lonzo Ball? Both guys don't really shoot the ball, playmakers. Lonzo's working on the shot aspect, but when you talk about watching film and digesting the game and all those different things, that might really work into Lonzo Ball. And from my understanding, he's really worked on his body. He's worked on his shot. This is maybe that year that he takes that next step. But that makes sense for Luke Walton to come out and say that.
Yeah, absolutely, and I'm with you. I mean, it could work out very well for Lonzo Ball. You've got the Spurs with a different look. How weird is it going to be being in San Antonio with no Tony Parker, no Manu Ginobili, and no Kawhi Leonard?
Man, listen, this is a rebuild for the Spurs, and not a reboot, not a re-anything. This is an absolute rebuild. They did get themselves a player in DeMar DeRozan, and I think that this is going to help DeMar. I mean, as much as he was not a fan of being traded from Toronto, I think that they got as much out of him as they can get, and Pop might get some things out of him that might take his game to the next level, and you pair that with LaMarcus Aldridge, DeJounte Murray. Really like Lonnie Walker, the shooting guard out of Miami, who seems to be as athletic as they come. So, different look. Most likely, same result.
You and I, again, we both think that Minnesota and New Orleans will drop out of the playoffs. I think the Lakers will be in the playoffs. I also think Denver is going to be a playoff team this year.
You know, Denver now, with a full season, they signed Jokic. But it's going to be Paul Millsap last year, him getting hurt.
I agree.
If he doesn't get hurt, how about this, Grant? If he doesn't get hurt, Minnesota doesn't make the playoffs.
That's correct. Because they don't. I'm with you. They would not.
Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
You're probably right that the Nuggets are right in there, and they have a solid. First of all, you got some pieces that you can put together. Yeah, this will be. I think they make the playoffs, yeah.
I mean, you got Jamal Murray, Gary Harris, Will Barton, Millsap, Jokic. You have Isaiah Thomas who will be back. You got, you know, Trey Lyles. You got Plumlee. You've got – I mean, I like this team. Now, I don't know when Michael Porter is going to be playing, but my point is, you know, I'm not even including him in this mix. I think they got a pretty nice ball club.
Yeah, I think Jamal Murray and Gary Harris, they kind of came up on those two. The two players that – took off last year. Gary Harris, I thought, played some fantastic basketball. And Will Barton, who they signed to a contract, has been, you know, what they call him, Will the Thrill. He comes in and does some really solid things. And you got a dynamic player in Jokic that can, yeah, I mean, he can get you a triple-double. He can put points on the board. Some nights he doesn't score and he just rebounds and assists. And then a all-star caliber player in a Paul Millsap. A lot of really good pieces.
Now, I say that about Minnesota without knowing who they might get back in return for Jimmy Butler, but he's not. Whoever they get back is not going to be Jimmy Butler. I think you can say that. So that's why I'm already projecting Minnesota to kind of drop a little bit. I also think that New Orleans is without Rondo. That is a big loss for them. And, you know, again, if Anthony Davis can stay healthy for the majority of the year, then maybe they get in. But I think losing Rondo is going to be a huge, huge, huge problem for them.
When you look at Anthony Davis, Grant, you know what you're going to get numbers-wise. I'm hearing a lot of conversation about him going to join LeBron James, and that would be catastrophic unless now there could be a trade and some of that young talent they might be willing to give up in Los Angeles if you're going to get a player of Anthony Davis's caliber to pair with a LeBron James. But hearing that and then you lose DeMarcus and you don't really have anything to show for that trade, they kind of have regressed.
The best thing that can happen for New Orleans is for the commissioner to snap his fingers and have that team in Seattle, all right? Because New Orleans, that is a horrible city for basketball. Nobody cares about the Pelicans in New Orleans. No one goes to the games. It is, in my opinion, the worst NBA market in the country. And you've got a new arena that's going to be built in Seattle. You got hockey going up there. You have a fortune, and you have major companies up in the Pacific Northwest. New Orleans needs to be in Seattle. And you probably wouldn't even have anybody complain down in New Orleans if the team picked up and moved.
Well, because they love that. That's all football country down there.
Exactly.
That's not on the docket, as I hear, for NBA. But as I look at their roster, Grant, one guy who just had one heck of a playoff run was Drew Holiday.
Man. Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. He showed up and showed out.
Jason, you're on with Grant and Doug.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Just quick question. I haven't heard your guys' response to this. What are your guys' thoughts on with the Kings, and they're the only real team that has cap space, and who would you maybe go after, and which of those players might actually decide that they want to come play with the Kings? I'll take your guys' answer.
Wait a minute. Before you hang up and take it off the air, are you referring to right now this week as it pertains to getting in the mix with other teams in the Jimmy Butler scenario, or are you talking about just in general?
I would say, like right now, this upcoming season. So whether it's this week or in the near future,
I don't think the Kings are going to do anything to affect the way the team looks right now. Like I don't really think that's going to occur. I think that they are very happy with where they're at. And where their future is set up with the salary cap and everything else. Do I think the Kings would like to get a first-round draft pick next year? Yeah, I probably think they would, considering they don't have one. I personally don't think it's a big deal. Number one, the draft is supposed to be weak. And, I mean, at some point, you know, adding 19-year-old kids to your team, it's got to stop at some point. So I'm not caught up on that. I'm not saying that I wouldn't take it, but, I mean, it's not anything that's going to move the needle for me. That's just me personally.
So is Butler out of the question,
yes,
or are there any other veterans that we're looking at that could...
Jimmy Butler is not coming to Sacramento. That's out of the question.
Okay.
Yeah, and I have to say, Grant, you pair that with the fact that you got to see what you got, because Justin Jackson, this could be a year that Justin Jackson breaks out,
yes,
and what's going to happen to some of the different positions.
Amen.
Nemanja Bjelica, what does he bring? And once you start to get that part of the puzzle, now you can begin to make plans and things.
All right, hard to believe that we are already 3 hours in the books. When we come back, Eric Edholm, NFL reporter for Pro Football Weekly. That's next here on Sports 1140 KHTK.